Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. What a privilege it is to be with you today. I hope you'll stay tuned. If you're Christian, I believe you can be challenged by this that God is going to bring forth today through His Word. If you're not a Christian, I pray that you will stay tuned. I pray that you will listen to the Word of God from this wonderful book, the Bible, that God has preserved for us and is especially relevant to us in these days, these closing days of human history, these last of the last days that we are living in. You may have heard that all of your life. Previous generations have heard about the last days that would come and the conditions that would mark the last days. But I believe we can be even more specific and talk about the last of the last days. And that's something that we want to talk about today. I believe we are living in the very last of the last days. And we will talk about that more in depth probably in another broadcast. But today we're going to talk about how to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And we just want to establish very early in this broadcast that Jesus is coming again. It is one of the most biblically substantiated facts in all of the Bible, and that is that Jesus is coming again. In fact, when He ascended to heaven after the resurrection, He said, "You men, why stand ye gazing into heaven?" He talked to His disciples, and He said, "Why stand ye gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus, in like manner as you have seen Him go away, shall come again." Praise the Lord. Every time we receive Holy Communion, the Bible said we do show His death till He come. So He wants us to constantly be focused on His soon coming and to understand and appreciate that fact more than we ever have in all of our life. So I want you to just stay tuned. These next few moments can be life-changing for a Christian. The Word of God brings forth fruit in our life, 30, 60, 100-fold when it finds a good ground heart. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, we want you to know why that we have what the Bible calls the blessed hope, and that is that Jesus is coming again. You know what's going to happen when He comes again? The Bible said the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are living and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that is the great hope, the blessed hope of the Church of Jesus Christ. And before this day is over, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you too can have this blessed hope, not only of being resurrected and death conquered and canceled, praise God, hallelujah, but you can know that if He came today, you would go with Him. Praise God. So we're talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, a warning to the lost and a wake-up call to the church. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Matthew's Gospel for our text today, Matthew 24, verse 43 and verse 44. Again, we welcome all of you that listen to this station in North Florida on WMAF. For those of you who have tuned in by the World Wide Web and are listening to this station as it streams on the web, and those of you who go to our website, THCOG, on any search engine will take you to the Holy Church of God, and you can click on this broadcast by the date of it that you and listen to it live from our website. So we welcome you to do that. We appreciate all of you, our listening audience, and we pray that God will bless you, challenge you, change you through His life-giving Word. Amen. Let me read from Matthew's Gospel 24, verse 43 and 44. "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Last week we talked about watching, being in a situation in your life where your sins have been forgiven, and you know that you are ready should Jesus Christ come at any moment, and you are anticipating His soon coming, and you are waiting and watching for His return. I just want to read one more scripture again in relation to that in Hebrews 9 and verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I love the Amplified. It said to bring full salvation to those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting Him. I think this is a good test of whether or not you're really, really saved today. Because if you are an authentic Christian and you've been born again, then you have in your heart an anticipation, the blessed hope of Jesus Christ coming again. And you are waiting and you are watching. And it would be a joyous thing if the trump of God sounded this very day for you. Amen. If you are not ready for Him to come or to go to meet Him, should you die, then you need to check out your salvation. I'm not trying to make you doubt it. I just want you to verify, to make your calling and election very, very sure. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants you to be ready when He comes or when He calls for you. Amen. I like what G. Campbell Morgan said about the coming, the second coming of Jesus. He said, he's a preacher from the last century, but he said, to me, the second coming is the perpetual light in the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work without thinking perhaps He may interrupt my work and begin His own. Hallelujah. That's living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Now we talk about the second coming. Really, it's one advent consisting of two events. I firmly believe that there is a rapture of the church, a pre-tribulation catching away. The Bible said that we are not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. And, you know, during the tribulation, there will be an earthquake to such a magnitude that every island, according to Scripture, in the sea is going to flee away. Now, how God is going to deal with Christians who would be living on those islands, I believe He's going to evacuate those islands before that earthquake comes, because that earthquake is part of the wrath of God. Amen. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of the wrath of the Lamb as all of the judgments begin. It is an expression of the wrath. The Christ who has been rejected as Savior now is the judge of all flesh, the judge of the quick and the dead. And these judgments are righteously given to a world that has rejected such a great salvation as this. But it is, without question, it is a time of God's visitation of wrath upon the earth. That means justifiable anger. And we are not, as believers, appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ. So I believe the second coming, as we talk about that, is understood as one advent, the second coming, consisting of two events, the catching away of the church and then His coming with us, to rule and reign with him, to set foot upon Mount Olivet and to stand upon the earth. You know, Job, in that ancient book, he said, "My, know my Redeemer lives, and though the skin worms eat my body, at the last day when he stands on the earth, I'm going to stand with him." Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming again, and we want very, very strongly to encourage Christians to begin to lift up our heads and take hold anew and afresh of the blessed hope of his soon appearing. And we want to encourage people to be watchful. This is a purifying hope, living in the light of the second coming. Praise God. Because we begin to adjust our values and our life, and we live it in hope and expectation. We live it with a sense of urgency to get into the harvest fields and get the harvest in. Praise God. The Bible literally tells us to work while it is day, while we have the opportunity, for the night cometh when no man shall work. This is a wonderful time to be living if we have our eyes set upon God's harvest fields and we have our hearts set on his soon coming. So we need to be watchful. But the second thing this week I want to deal with is that we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. Luke 18 and 8 says this, Jesus speaking, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, I have heard this scripture taken out of context and out of not even putting the priority on his coming, and meant that if I don't have faith to get stuff, in the material world, then he's going to be disappointed in me or something like that. And I want you to know this is far more important than whether I'm believing God for a Mercedes or not. I want you to understand this scripture. In ancient times and in modern times, Christians, when parting, say, and used to say, particularly in the ancient times, keep the faith. Watchfulness and faithfulness actually go hand in hand. Hebrews 3 and verse 14 said, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." This word here, this word faith on the earth, is faith in terms of fidelity, of being true to God, of not being double-minded, of keeping our commitment. It is a word that is very comfortable in terms of our marriage commitment. You know, we are, according to Scripture, called the bride of Christ. Collectively, we make up the bride of Christ, and he is called the bridegroom. Hallelujah. We're espoused, Paul said, by the gospel of Jesus Christ to one husband, that he might present us to Christ a chaste virgin. That is, that we are not committing spiritual adultery. We are not committing spiritual fornication. We are living for one great day, and that is the return of Jesus to take us home to the Father's house. Hallelujah. Amen. We are his children, and we are his bride. I want to read this warning that we read in Hebrews 3:14 in context. Hebrews 3:7-14. Listen to it. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. The Amplified says, firm and unshaken. Faithfulness means that we abide in Him. We remain constant and unshaken. We begin by trusting Christ, and we are sustained by trusting Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, and verse 28 says, and now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. It simply means to remain faithful. It simply means to remain constant in our faith. The Scripture says we're to look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Faithfulness in the sense of constant trusting in Christ alone as our source for all our need and as our Savior is the key to fruitfulness. John 15 is all about abiding in the vine, amen, and abiding in Christ and letting His Word abide in you, that we may be fruitful and that our fruit might remain. Praise the Lord. I want to read from Revelation 3, verse 7 through 10. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. The New International is very clear of that verse. It says, kept my command to endure patiently. One paraphrase says, obeyed my command to persevere. The Amplified says, expectant endurance. I like that. You've kept the word of my patience. You're looking for me and you're enduring. Verse 11 says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. See, Jesus said, when I come back to the earth, am I going to find a church that is filled with fidelity, that is faithful to me, faithful to the faith, faithful to the heavenly calling? He's looking for people who are living in the light of His coming by being faithful. Praise the Lord. You know, God puts a premium on faithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. It's easy to remember. 2:2:2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Paul said to Timothy, the things that you have heard of me, commit thou unto faithful men who shall teach others also. Ah, this is so important today. That when Christ comes, we be found people of fidelity, that we are faithful to Him as our Savior and our Master. We are faithful to the faith. We are faithful to the Word of God. Paul wrote to a church that he knew was going to be shaken and distracted and could possibly be deceived and if they didn't take a stand. And he said, I believe it's needful that I write unto you that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And this is a day when the faith, that body of truth, which was delivered to us through the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of this foundation, that truth is in such jeopardy today. The men and women of the cloth are taking such liberty with the Bible, the Word of God. We need to earnestly contend. That means to put up a real fight for the faith. And it's not to fight people. It's not to come against people with anger and angst. It is to simply hold truth above every compromised message out there, every compromised messenger out there. Just hold that truth and hold to it. I don't care what the popular movements are that come and go. I am going, amen, to preach the gospel that was once delivered to the saints. I'm going to hold that truth up, praise God. And I'm going to tell you something about God's authentic church. Amen. His authentic sheep. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow." Praise God. Hallelujah. I believe if ministers in pulpits across America will hold up the truth of the gospel and challenge God's people to be faithful unto our Lord and faithful unto the Bible and faithful in our life, in our Christianity, praise God, and show forth that fidelity that Jesus is going to be looking for when He comes again. I believe we can see a Holy Ghost revival in our nation. I've heard of the revivals in foreign lands. I've heard of the revival in South America. I've heard of the revival in South America where the born again rate exceeds the birth rate. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where churches in some quarters go from 550 to 5,000 in a year and to 10,000 in some cases in 2 years. I've heard of the mighty revival in mainland China that is bringing such persecution right now. But there is a church established there. And some estimates say that as many as 20,000 people per day are coming to know Christ as their personal Savior, because these people are living, preaching, singing, praying in the light of the soon coming of Jesus. And I'm telling you, they are faithful. They are faithful, praise God, and they're enduring patiently. And God set an open door before them that the government and persecution cannot shut. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God moves so mightily when we show forth faithfulness to the faith and to our Savior. Praise God. When we make those kind of commitments, it excites the Holy Spirit, and He moves in spite of all the persecutions and all of the circumstances. Praise God. And God said when that hour comes, that hour of temptation, this hour of judgments coming upon the earth, He said, "I'm going to keep you from it." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love Him so much today for being the kind of God that He is. It's easy to be faithful to the Lord if you love Him. It's easy for me to be faithful for my wife. We're getting ready to celebrate 45 years of marriage. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's easy for me to be faithful to my Pamela, because she owns my heart. I gave my heart to her almost 45 years ago, and I've never taken it back. Don't want to take it back. I'm deeply in love with my wife. Amen. And I gave my heart to Jesus Christ when I was 21, going on 22, and I never wanted to take it back. I'm not saying that I haven't had struggles. I'm telling you, I have had struggles. But I have not struggled with wanting to take my heart back from my beloved. I love the Lord for what He's done for me at Mount Calvary. I love the Lord because He's going to come back for me. Whether I wake or whether I sleep, it will not prevent me from going to meet Him when He comes. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to be faithful. I want to be found faithful when He comes. Praise God. I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye in to the joys of the Lord." Praise God. Hearing Him say, "Well done to me," because of faithfulness, means more to me than the streets of gold, means more to me than the gates of pearl. That is secondary, amen, to being able to please the one that bled and died for me. That's why I preach the gospel. I never expect to be a man of great means or mention in this world, but I do expect to hear my master say, "Well done," when I get home. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people can preach the gospel better than me, but there's nobody that can preach a better gospel. And I'm going to be faithful. As Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. I was faithful. Amen. I was faithful. The church in the seven churches of Asia that was under such heavy persecution from the enemy, Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Friend, eternal life, this wonderful gift that God gives us through Jesus Christ our Savior, is a gift so wonderful that we give ourselves away to Him. Amen. We remain faithful. We are people that are faithful. We have fidelity. And when He returns, He's going to find the true church faithful, the authentic Christian faithful. Praise God. That's what He's going to be looking for in His church when He returns. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And He said He's coming quickly. He's coming quickly. You know when it happens? It will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the Bible said, "Be ye also ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Oh, how I want to encourage you as a Christian to start living your life. If you're not doing it already, start living your life in the light of His soon coming. And if you're not a Christian, I want to challenge you today with this message. What would happen if Jesus came today? What would happen in this world? What's going to take place when Jesus evacuates His church so judgments can come and none of that wrath touches people? He's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. But a time is coming for Israel. It's called a time of Jacob's trouble. For the whole world, it's called a time of great tribulation, great anguish. The day of the Lord hasteneth greatly, the Old Testament said. And folks, God doesn't want you to go through that terrible, terrible time. He wants you to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ today. I don't know where you are in your relationship with the Lord. You may not even know Him at all. But this is a day of preparation, and this is a day of readiness. Amen. And if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you right now to open your heart, to open your life, and to simply say, "Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I've sinned. I'm part of Adam's fallen race. And I come to You now, and I repent of my sin. I want to be ready when this great event takes place. I don't want to live in a world when God sends His wrath upon it. I want to be ready to receive You, Jesus, as my bridegroom, because I am receiving You right now as my personal Savior, my Lord and Savior, my Master and King. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Change my life. Seal me with the Holy Spirit. So if You come today, I'm ready. If I draw my last breath today, I'm ready. Lord, from this moment forward, I'm living in a state of readiness." Hallelujah. If you're a Christian today, live in that state of readiness. Be faithful. Be faithful. You'll never regret living your whole life for Jesus Christ. Everything else is passing. Oh, our time is gone. I hope you'll tune in next week. We've got a lot more to talk about in this wonderful book, the Bible. about this wonderful man Jesus and this wonderful Father who sent him to us and this wonderful Holy Spirit who draws us to him. We love you. God bless you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.